The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley, and Dr. Alex McFarland is with me today, but he's not in studio as he was yesterday. Now, it's a little rainy here today, Alex, but I tell you, I think that I would trade the rain and the wind and everything for the view that you have from Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs.
Well, do you know, it was good to be with you yesterday in the studio. Good to be back on the road traveling. But Tupelo is a pretty beautiful place, pretty nice place to be. So, don't sell it short.
Oh, I'm not selling it short. I'm just thinking about the difference in the view, brother, is all I'm saying. You have snow-capped mountains in the background, and here we've got trees. Nothing wrong with trees, but they don't have any leaves yet. Spring has not sprung.
Well, I'll tell you, we lived out there 3.5 years, and Pikes Peak, where Catherine Lee Bates was when she wrote America the Beautiful, we saw it covered in snow at the top just about every month of the year but July.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's gorgeous.
Well, it is, and it's good to be with you, everybody. This is Alex McFarland with Jim Stanley, and, you're very gracious. You always say some very nice things about me, traveling, speaking, but I want people to know who you are. Folks, the American Family Radio Network that millions of people hear every day, it happens because of a great team of a whole lot of people, but it happens because there's a ringmaster to the circus, and his name is Jim Stanley. And you've got a great background in ministry and music, but also in broadcasting.
Well, I have been around a while now. I'm not sure if that just makes me old or experienced. So it could go either way.
Well, I'm amazed at what you do because you have a lot to say grace over, and I've never seen you flustered, and you just seem to just always be. We're going to talk about in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. And I was reading that list today. But first, we're not quite there yet. But if you've got your Bibles, folks, turn to Galatians chapter 5, the New Testament book of Galatians. But I think about you, Jim, when I read that list of the fruits of the Spirit.
Well, brother, you are much more than kind. And the reason I was chuckling is because I think our producer would have a different take on the matter. So, but no, there are times that we all have those bad days, but there seems to be ample opportunity because we deal with computers, we deal with people, we deal with software, and any of those can develop glitches at any given time. But I really do it. Those are some very kind words from you, but you are correct. We do have a great team here, and I am blessed to be part of it.
And for those that may be wondering, Bert is on the road. Bert Harper, our usual compatriot, he's on the road traveling. And so Jim and I, as we frequently do, we're getting into the Word. Jim, let me give a quote. I love quotes. I find quotes from great Christian leaders are very inspirational. There was an evangelist a century ago, Billy Sunday. And he was, the Sawdust Trail. He was an evangelist, and hundreds of thousands walked the aisle at Billy Sunday Crusades in the teens and the 20s and the 30s. And, a lot of people don't know it because he was such a fire and brimstone preacher, but he was a Presbyterian, which, you don't always maybe associate the revivalists and the evangelists with Presbyterians, but Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian. And somebody asked him, they said, "How do you get so many people to come down the aisle?" And he said, "When you're preaching, name the sins." He said, don't speak of repentance in a general way, but preach specifically. But listen to this as we get into Galatians 5, and we're going to begin at verse 19. Billy Sunday said this, quote, "I'm against sin. I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot. I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. I'll butt it as long as I've got a head. I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and sin goes home to perdition.
Mm.
End of quote. Jim, my point is, there was a day when we took sin a little more seriously than perhaps sometimes we do now.
Right. Well, and there was a time that people understood that just as there are consequences to physical laws, laws of man, that there are consequences to laws of God. And now in the day and age that we live in, just because something has made it has become legal, it hasn't necessarily made it moral. And so people are finding excuses for their sins. They're finding basically soap and water for their sins when that's not what they need. They don't need their image cleaned up. They need their soul cleaned up. They need their sins covered by the blood of Jesus, not covered by a judiciary that's out of control or by a Congress that may want to make things legal that we know aren't.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, part of what we preach on Exploring the Word is the simple message of the gospel. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, the Bible is an inexhaustible gold mine of nuggets to be discovered. But it's simple, that God loves you, Christ died for you. The bad news is we're sinners. And the worse news is sin, unaddressed, will bring judgment. And if you die with your sins unforgiven and without the righteousness of Christ covering your soul and the blood of Jesus washing you clean, you'll be separated from God forever. And God doesn't want that, and it doesn't have to be that way. The good news is you can, three simple things right now. You admit, you say, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. You say, I believe, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross and rose from the grave. And I'm calling on you and asking you to forgive me. And friend, if you'll do that today, if you'll ask Jesus, simply call, listen, he's as close as a prayer. And you will be saved. And we're going to talk about Galatians 5, and we'll begin at verse 19. And, you know, Jim, I was kind of working on this, getting ready for the show today. And there's a grocery list of sins that are to be avoided. There's a grocery list of fruit of the Spirit to be cultivated.
Right.
And would you read 19 through 21?
I'll be happy to. Galatians 5:19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." And I know you asked me to read, but I've got to... I want you to highlight that word, folks. If you're following in your Bibles with us, highlight that word, because it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident," and right. we'll go into why in a moment. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Alex, when you look at that very first line and it says evident, how are these things evident? What makes these sins, this list of sins, what makes them so evident in someone's life?
Well, eventually they will manifest themselves, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever a plant is or whatever a tree is, the fruit that it, you know, bears will become evident. And if your root is, you know, drawing its nourishment from the wrong thing, the fruit will tell that. Look at this, the flesh. Adultery, fornication, the King James renders it, which is immorality, sexual immorality, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is just living for hedonistic pleasures and no self-control, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. In other words, you're double-minded and you're a double speaker. You don't keep your word. There's really four categories here: moral sins, religious or spiritual sins, sins of personality, dispositional sins, they're sometimes called, and really social sins. Now, the moral sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all of these things, and, you know, we're just being transparent, and friend, you're listening to two saved sinners,
right,
you know, talking. We're not up on a moral high horse judging anybody, but the holy, righteous Lord Jesus absolutely is in a position to judge any and all of us. You might, in this list, then it gets down to religious, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. That's always keeping things stirred up. Heresy, false teaching, envying. You might, in some of these lists, see yourself. It's convicting, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it absolutely is. And when you look at some of that and some of the things, when I look at some of this list here, and, you know, Alex, you will remember, I think, as I, that there was a time that we taught about taboos in a society, that we taught about mores in a society, and then we talked about things that were acceptable in a society. And there were times that adultery and fornication and lewdness, those were taboos. And now we have websites that are offering men and women the way to have adulterous relationships, where it's one of those things that you can just go register, find someone that you like, and then go and commit this act that's immoral. It's unfaithfulness to the spouse. And then, you know, where they've just made it easy, and it's not, it's a wink, wink, and a nod, nod now, to where it's not taboo like it used to be. But Alex, think about that, where you said things would come to light. How many folks were on that list that where the emails were hacked, or the email addresses and the users were hacked from that company and then just put out for everyone to see?
You know, don't you know some people were just about to have a heart attack?
Oh, yeah.
When the dirty laundry was going to be aired.
Right. And then when we think of idolatry, as you were talking about, some of the sins of the faith, you know, now idolatry is excused. Who do you worship? Where does your worship lie? You know, we have a show called American Idol.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You know, the first time I ever saw that, and I don't know, I guess it's been 7, 8, 9 years ago when it first came on, I saw the commercial for American Idol, and I thought, American idolatry, it could be.
Absolutely. And then as sorcery now, witchcraft, as you mentioned. Well, now you have good witches. You know, you have Wiccans, and that's a Wiccan. To be a Wiccan now is considered a wink, wink, nod, nod, if you will.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't mean to occupy all the time. I know that you're struggling, so I'm a little still with your voice, but I want you to take all the time you need to unpack this. But this is just some of the things that I see as we go through this. You know, well, and now we're coming up on a break, so I'm not going to let you say anything else till after the break. You know, because I'm just that way. Now you're going to have to rethink the fruits of the Spirit in me together, huh? All right. Hey, folks, I'm Jim Stanley. He's Dr. Alex McFarland. And we are exploring the Word this afternoon on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you've partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says sometimes the pressures and problems of life seem like a giant jumble of noise you can't get out of your head. But there is a way to turn that mixed up mess into a melody. And we'll hear about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Have you ever seen an orchestra? You come out and the orchestra's getting ready to play and everybody's like warming up on their instrument and it sounds like crazy because it's just different sounds, all discombobulated, all over the place. Everybody's sitting with their instrument and you got a lot of sounds going on, but no harmonizing. There's just sound. Then all of a sudden out walks the conductor. He stands, he puts out his little stick, click, bip, 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 bip. Everybody sits up in their chair. And then he starts, and all of a sudden, the sound comes together. Before the conductor showed up, it sounded random, disconnected, discombobulated, and non-harmonious. But once the conductor comes up and taps a couple of times and waves his hand, what looked like and sounded like chaos now makes sense. You say, my life is in chaos. Keep your eye out for the conductor. Because when the conductor shows up, what looked like random things that were disconnected, all of a sudden have a clear sound. Don't leave the concert too early just because it doesn't sound right. Wait for the conductor. Because when he shows up, he brings harmony out of discord.
Learn more about surviving and even thriving through the tough times in life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Living Above the Circumstances, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me.
Hi, I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Brother Bert Harper. Dr. Alex McFarland joins me from the lovely mountains of Colorado. And Alex, we were going through the works of the flesh here in verse 19 of chapter 5 from Galatians. And I had kind of gone through some of the things there where we were talking about, you know, what used to be mores and taboo in our country is no longer that. And we are rewriting laws to make what is immoral legal and what is and then we are wanting to make illegal the practice of telling people that they're risking the fate of hell if they don't come to know Christ. And folks, it doesn't have to be the huge, ugly sin of adultery. It can be the little bitty sin, you know, if you want to, of selfish ambition. And there's nothing wrong, per se, with wanting to be better. There's nothing wrong to wanting to succeed. But it's where you get your strength and where you give your glory to that makes the difference. If we glory in ourselves, then it becomes selfish ambition. If we want to make sure that we're doing something well and doing a good job so that we can give the glory to God, then it's entirely different. And so as we think of these things where we're making laws saying that that preachers are no longer going to be able to practice and preach the truth, then things I don't quite know how to explain it. I almost get speechless about it, Alex.
I know. You know, Jim, when I first accepted Christ at 21 and began to really read the Bible in earnest, I came to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And I pondered that for a long time. You know, and we are to that day. We really are where any type of boundaries or moral and ethical, litmus test, oh my goodness, just get ready to be, you know, castigated if you dare say that some things are objectively wrong. Mm-hmm. I want to camp out there for a minute. In verse 20, there's idolatry and witchcraft. Now, we don't have a hard time understanding that that's wrong. Then there's some personality sins, hatred and wrath and strife. But then heresies. And I would lump idolatry, witchcraft, and heresy. Because heresy not only is that which is false, but it's a rejection of that which is true. And there's no limit to the heresies and the heretical, unorthodox teachings out there. But I want to say this. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But Jim, we've witnessed in our lifetime, because I know you and me both, we're not too far apart in age. And do you remember how in the 70s, a lot of things pushed the envelope, kind of. There were TV shows that were more risque than ever.
Right.
And in the culture, there was, you know, the rise of immorality, and we kind of became comfortable with sin. But, friend, if you look at history and you look at cultures, carnality is not enough. The human soul, untethered from Christ, moves from sin and carnality, frankly, to sorcery and demonism. Now, I don't want to get weird on you here, but I want to say that we are in an increasingly demonized culture. And I'll give you an example. And moms and dads, you need to know about this. I don't want to waste too much time on it. But young people are fascinated by spiritual things and oftentimes the occult. And I would urge you never, 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 never let there be a Ouija board in your house or occultic things. One of the things kids talk about now, and I know because I speak to a lot of kids, there's a thing called Slender Man. And frankly, I think it's a manifestation of the devil, really. And there were actually two girls, I believe it was in Wisconsin, that almost murdered one of their peers because the Slender Man, which is this apparition, it's a demonic apparition, told them to. And Jim, without a revival and without a return to Christ, dark activity, demonic activity, not only is that something that individuals might gravitate toward, but I think it's something increasingly we're seeing manifested in our culture.
You know, Alex, I have to confess, I had not been aware of the Slender Man that you were talking about, but it says that it began as an internet meme, and that is, it goes, I don't, that's just wild. But it's one of those things that you see, that when you see it, it has no face, it has no ears, it has no eyes or anything. So you can see where for something like that to do, it leaves itself wide open for demonistic activity, if you will.
Yeah, I've heard kids talking about this for probably 2 years, and I was at a school and they were drawing it on a blackboard, and they try to contact this. It's like this amorphous, vague apparition. Look, the Bible says there are deceptive spirits and there are, the Holy Spirit. And it says, beware, because even the devil can masquerade as an angel of light.
Right.
Now, I don't want to get us off topic here, but friend, don't have anything to do with occultic things. There's Jesus and there's Jesus only. And you want to make sure that your soul and your views about God and the supernatural are informed by the Bible and the Bible only. Mm-hmm. Because the devil and his demons are predators. They will lie. They will deceive. They will tempt you and lure you to try to get you away from Christ. And so Galatians 5:19-20 is warning about that.
It absolutely is. And then as we move on through verse 21, we've talked about the envy, the murderers, the drunkenness, the revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you notice what it said there, Alex? And I know you did, but folks, what I want you to note is just like where you went back and I asked you to mark the word evident, I also want you to mark the word practice. We all make mistakes. somebody pulls out in front of us, someone disrespects our spouse, we all can have different times where things just don't suit us and we're going to let somebody know. But it says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Basically, those that make it an ongoing way of life, if you will.
Right.
And so when we think of that, we all, as Alex said a little bit ago, we are both forgiven sinners. And there are times that we still mess up. There are accidents and mistakes that we make, that I make daily. And so, but I don't set out to do that. It's not like I practice it as you hear a doctor who's in the practice of medicine. That's become a way of life for him or for her. That's their practice. That's what they do. They have a medical practice. And so that's why I wanted you to take and grab onto that word there. It's yeah. not your way of life if you move on into the fruit of the Spirit.
You know, I'm sure everybody's heard the phrase, you know, if somebody's a good musician, they'll say, well, you know, he's an accomplished piano player. Mm-hmm. And the word here is praxis. It sounds very much like practice. By the way, you've heard of orthodoxy, which is right teaching. Well, orthopraxy, P-R-A-X-Y, praxy, is right living or right praxis. We're not only to be orthodox in our doctrine, we're to exhibit orthopraxy, right living. And interestingly, it says those who practice, in other words, they make a regular habit of doing these things, it literally means that you've become accomplished at your sin. Now, it's fine if you become an accomplished violinist or an accomplished woodworker, but you don't want to be, you do not want to be an accomplished sinner, do you, Jim?
No, sir. That's not where you want to hang your hat. That's just not where you want to hang out at all.
Yeah, and Augustine, 1,600 years ago, St. Augustine, he said that the works of the flesh are splendid sins. We want to, it's like, I'm sure you've heard the illustration about the chauffeur driving the limousine on a very high mountainous road. Does the chauffeur try to see how close he can get to the cliff without accidentally running off down the ravine? No, of course not. He wants to stay away from the danger and be in the safe part. And so don't live out there on that ragged edge to see how much you can flirt with darkness and yet emerge unscathed. And the Bible says that we're to repent, because those that practice or those that make habits of such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we mentioned, I believe it was yesterday, in 2 Corinthians, where it says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Because, Jim, to be an habitual sinner and not really feel bad about it, and look, only God knows our heart, and we don't know anybody else's heart. We barely know our own heart. But if sin doesn't bother you, might need to go back and take a look at that thing. Have you really let Jesus take control of who you are?
That's good stuff.
Well, I love conjunctions.
Right.
Because
and
they
here's
change
the one.
Gears. Yes. But, however, you know, or in contrast to this, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice 19, the works of the flesh mm-hmm. versus the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Jim, do you like fruit? I know I do.
I do.
What's your favorite fruit?
Let's see. I would have to say most all of them, but I really enjoy cantaloupe. That
oh,
is
man.
Probably hands down one of my favorite fruit.
I know. We used to go to Shoney's. Do you remember when there was Shoney's restaurants all over America?
Well, of course I do. You're talking about to the original big boy right here.
Well, there you go. I remember in the dead of winter, when you couldn't find a cantaloupe, they would have cantaloupe on their salad bar. And that was so good. Fruit just has a good connotation. Because verse 19, the works of the flesh, the implication is some undesirable outcome. Verse 20, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That means self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, we're going to come back to that phrase. But, Jim, you know, when I read this kind of grocery list of the good things that the Spirit of God wants to work out through our lives, there's just something precious and beautiful about it, isn't it?
Pardon me, there absolutely is. And when you think, you know, I looked at John 15 earlier today in preparation for this, because there it talks about fruit. And this is fruit inside of our lives. But we get that fruit because we dwell in the Spirit, because we seek after the Spirit. In John 15, it's in the vineyard, you know, and Christ is talking and says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the Father, or the husbandman, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And that's a different kind of fruit. That's where we talked yesterday about making disciples and leading people in discipleship and as Christ followers. But the reason that we can produce that fruit, I honestly believe, Alex, is because we spend time showing the evidence of this fruit in our lives.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Do you remember that book? I'm going to say it was 10 or 15 years ago, Secrets of the Vine.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Bruce Wilkinson?
I'd have to check. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. And you know, if you're going to bear fruit, you've got to be connected to the tree,
mm-hmm.
the branch, the true vine, and that's Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Notice this. Long-suffering. The Spirit-filled Christian doesn't quit. God doesn't call out quitters. And we all go through times we get tired and we get fatigued and we get burdened and we look for the nearest exit ramp. But you know what, Jim? I always say this. You know you're called by God if you throw in the towel and he throws it right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And we need some go-the-distance Christians nowadays, don't we?
We do, and Brent looked for us, and it was indeed Bruce Wilkinson who wrote that book. Alex, as we begin verse 22 there with the fruit, that is almost singular. And in my mind, I've always pictured a large orange with mm-hmm. the different segments in there. All of this is... Some of these we're going to be better at than others because of the way God put us together. But at some point, any and all of this is possible in the life of a Christian because it's part of the segment of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. You know, you mentioned John 15, and I love, oh boy, I love John 15 and 16. Remember Jesus said John 15, 16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit mm-hmm. and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See, the fruit not only honors God, it touches other lives of those around us.
It does. Folks, we're going to take your phone call in a few minutes at 888-589-8840. I'm Jim Stanley, along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and you, Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Do you have trouble standing in spiritual warfare? You ever notice the outline for the book of Ephesians? Sit in heavenly places, Paul said. Walk worthy, walk righteously, walk in love, walk in light, walk with balance. And then in Ephesians 6, stand effectively. You see, the standing comes from being able to walk in the Spirit, and the walking in the Spirit comes from sitting in heavenly places. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to the tabernacle, worship, and prayer, the tablets, walk, and behavior. and then numbering the warriors. You don't have a warfare problem. You got a walk problem. No, you've got a worship and prayer problem. Take time today. Sit with Him. This is Doug Small with Project Pray for OneCry.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
This week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Now, when we're succeeding and doing well, the spotlight's on us. But when we fail, there's an opportunity to shine the spotlight on God and say, look at God's ability to forgive that person. Look at God's power to restore that person to a new beginning.
Don't miss the conclusion of our brand new series, Second Chance, Second Act. All this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Sunday mornings at 3:30 Central on American Family Radio.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Let's use our imaginations a moment. Imagine yourself in a massive room with every other Christian in the world when a gunman interrupts your fellowship to make the same demands. Denounce Christ, or one of you dies every 6 minutes. According to the Center for Studies on New Religions, 90,000 Christians, about one every 6 minutes, lost their lives in 2016 because of their faith, making Christians the most persecuted religious group in the world. As comfortable as we've had it in America, though, we have lately started to feel some tension with our secular culture. Our experience is not the norm for believers around the world. Are we praying for them? Are we encouraging them? Are we taking inspiration from them in our slight trials of the faith? These people are willing to die for Jesus. Are we willing to live for Him? This is a Decency Minute. Find us at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, columnist Arnold Allard joins us. Also, Super Bowl champion, author, and Trump supporter Burgess Owens weighs in on John Lewis's boycott and Martin Luther King's legacy. Plus, Dr. James S. Robbins tells us how the president-elect can restore America as leader of the free world. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth, right here on AFR.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today, along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And we are in the fifth chapter of Galatians, and we're in verses 22, 23, 24, and 25 right now. And, you know, Alex, as we were going to break, we were talking about some of these different things. And you had mentioned that we would come back to the phrase, against such there is no law.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up. And folks, I'm going to give the phone number because we're going to get to your Bible questions here in just a moment. 888-589-8840, toll free, nationwide. Call in. We'll answer your Bible questions. We'll do our best to answer them. But you know what? When you're sharing the gospel, people can, you know, disagree with you. You can, you know, explain and defend, and they can quibble. But what this is saying, I believe, Jim, and I've studied quite a bit on this, and Erwin Lutzer and Charles Stanley, different ones have said, you know, when you're exhibiting all these attributes, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, which the word literally means godlike, faith, meekness, doesn't mean weakness, but meek and approachable and accessible. People don't have to walk on eggshells around you. Self-control. Against such there is no law. What that means is, literally, you can't argue with it. And I've had people say this, I've had agnostics say, you know, they didn't believe in God, but Billy Graham, now he's for real. And Jim, isn't it a beautiful thing that even if somebody, they've got questions about what you're trying to say or your message, but they say, you know what, there's something authentic about your life. That's what we want to model and project, isn't it? Authenticity for our Lord.
I agree, and I think that's one of the reasons that you see the distinction in this that you do, is just like you said earlier, where you broke this list down, the litany list of the different sins that are mentioned there, and you broke down that some were moral, some were spiritual, some were personal, you know, or personality driven. If you notice, the combatant to those are the counterbalance, if you will, is found in the fruit of the Spirit. And yeah. and the application and the ways that they can be applied. But folks, this is one of those times that if you spent every waking moment trying to love someone more than someone else, being more patient with someone than someone else, showing kindness to someone that someone else won't show kindness to, that then you're going to become known as a person who is faithful, as a person who is known that wants to minister to street people, as a person that's known that wants to make the peace. And there's a difference in a peacemaker and a peacekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. That's a great point. That is a great point. Because a peacekeeper might placate mm-hmm. somebody and pacify. But a peacemaker has wisdom and has patience, but carries just a certain spiritual authority around with them or on their person. You know, the funny thing, to be, you know, a person of peace and patience, it's not exactly something you can go out and set your mind and work for. Now, I believe in spiritual disciplines, and I believe in, you know, disciplining yourself to have a quiet time every morning and pray. And, you know, with God's help for the next 30 days, I'm, you know, going to eat better. You know, I believe in trying to better yourself. But here's the thing. If you want all these attributes, the way you get it, is not to try to work and hit the gym. You spend time with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The only way for these attributes of Christ really to become manifested in your life is that you spend time with the Master.
Amen. Alex, I don't want to rush through this. I don't want to take and just try and rush through this. So what I'd like to do, with your permission, is come back tomorrow and mm-hmm. pick up again at verse 22 or maybe even 23, and then move forward into verses 24 and 25, because I think that especially, and I'm, you know, I monopolized a lot of the conversation today, but there is some really good stuff in here. And I want us to be able to try and unpack as much as we can. So are you okay with us coming back to that?
Let's do, because you know what, yesterday, folks, Jim and I, we were talking because, you know, we've been going through the scarlet thread of redemption through the whole Bible, and Bert is on the road, and we were thinking, what are we going to do? And I thought, well, let's do Galatians 5. Jim, obviously, the entire Word of God is very vital.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, for the Christian, Galatians chapter 5 is one of the most significant chapters in the entire New Testament.
Amen. It's good stuff. And like you said, that's not to take away from anything else. But this is one of those times that the folks say that the Bible doesn't say enough about life. In these two chapters, 5 and 6 of Galatians, Paul has a wealth to say about life, and not only what not to do, but what to do, so that we can be better witnesses for the Lord and better people to each other.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, well, let's go to the phones, we're going to talk to Bobby calling from Texas. Bobby, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm just going over, trying to find it. I believe it's 2 Timothy, that the Paul's letter to Timothy says that God actually sent a delusional spirit upon the people. And then in Jeremiah, it states very clearly that my people fail for lack of knowledge. I believe that is what we really need to all be praying about, for these people that are so delusional in their thinking, to get rid of this delusional spirit. Does that sound right to y'all?
Yeah, let me say this, and you were talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I believe that's referencing near the end times, when people have rejected the truth for so long that they become deceived by a strong delusion. We were talking about habitual sin, and you don't want your life to be characterized by sin. Frankly, I think one of the most sobering words in the Bible are in the first two chapters of Romans, where it's talking about sexual sin, immorality, sodomy, perversion, and it says they knew the truth, but they suppressed the truth in their unrighteousness. God, now listen to this, gave them up, or gave them over, to a reprobate mind. And they reached a point where they could no longer tell right from wrong. I've never seen, and look, we are not legalists, and you know, we're not, you know, trying to be prudes here, but you know, there's righteousness and there's unrighteousness. And Jim, I've never in my whole life, 52 years, seen a time where the culture is so comfortable with filth and sin.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, thanks for the call. That was a good point. And I think the only thing that I would say different on that, and it's not really different but goes along with it, is that right now we're walking into sin with our eyes wide open. We're embracing sin as a country with our eyes wide open. And as Alex just mentioned, now, will there come a time that we're going to be given over to a reprobate mind, and a time that is coming to where there will be a spirit? Absolutely. Do demons play a part in what happens today? Absolutely. I'm convinced of that. But we right now, as America, we're walking into it, and I think we're called to be the remnant that reminds people, or at least shows people, there's a way back to God.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Cal Thomas, I know we've got other calls, but he wrote an article several years ago called "The Diminishing Returns of Explicitness." And what shocked us today won't necessarily shock us tomorrow.
Right.
Drug users call it chasing the dragon. You know, what was a stimulation and a thrill one day won't do it for you the next day. And that's why there will come a time when people have gotten so comfortable with darkness that they can no longer recognize light.
We're getting closer and closer every day.
We are.
Well, let's talk to Dwight, calling from West Virginia. Dwight, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, Alex and Jim. I have a question. It's a I'm a little bit confused about what scriptures should we take literally or figurative speaking. Like, for instance, John 3:16, I take that literally. I believe that.
Yeah.
But there's a scripture in Matthew 19:9 about divorce and remarriage. And there's so many remarriages and divorces that's happening all across the United States, even with Christians too. Should we take that scripture right there literally or figuratively speaking? Because I've been divorced 37 years, and I've always held my ground on I can't remarry as long as my wife is still living. So is that, and Jesus said that in Matthew 19:9, should we take that literally or figuratively?
Dwight, that's a great question. I'm going to let you listen to your radio, if you don't mind, as we reply to that. Alex, in looking at that literally and figuratively, we know that God hates divorce. Mm-hmm. There are some times that divorce is going to happen because of immorality. And, you know, we do not want any abused person to stay in an abusive relationship. Would we like to see reconciliation happen? Would we like to see the miracle of God take place in a marriage? Absolutely. But, you know, we know God hates divorce, and I think that is entirely literal. But at the same time, it's not It's not going back to the Mosaic times, is it?
No. We do take God's word literally. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say there are different what are called genres or types of writing even within the Bible. Within the Bible, there's history. There are the Jewish laws and rules. There's poetry and songs and worship. There's wisdom literature of the Old Testament, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. That's called the wisdom literature. There's historical narrative you've got in the Gospels and Acts. You've got another type of literature called the epistles. And these were letters that the leaders like Peter and Paul wrote to the different churches. And you've got what's called apocalyptic literature, which is prophecy. And Daniel and Revelation, I believe, would fall into that category. The Bible is literal truth, but that doesn't mean that there are not examples of figurative language where Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches, or I'm the door, I am the path. But let me say this in terms of the divorce 37 years. If she is remarried, and I would say you're free, because as C.S. Lewis would say, you can't unscramble an egg. And so are we to pursue righteousness and God's perfect standard? Of course. But as in a fallen, broken world of finite humans, that's not always possible. What you do is remember, God takes you where you are as you are. Confess, you know, praise God for the victories, confess your sins and failures, and move on. And that doesn't mean that we're not taking it as literal truth, but that literal truth has to be applied to lives that are in sometimes less than ideal situations.
Amen. Good stuff, Alex. We're going to get in our last caller. Holly, I apologize we won't get to you, but Bob, we are coming up towards the end of the show, and you wanted to make a couple of comments on some things said today. I can give you 60 seconds.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I agree with everything that Alex just said. It was very, very good. And, hey, I love it. There's a lot of theology in this. When you throw in the towel and God throws it back at you, well, I'd laugh, but there's a lot of theology in that. I laugh. There is a lot. That's packed with theology. Also, I think I heard this just recently, that when you surrender, you win. And when you die, you live. I don't know who said that, but I just heard that recently. Okay, my dad repeatedly said he wasn't born again. He wasn't a religious man, and he said, I wasn't born again, but he said, do what's right. Just do what's right. That's all. And he got a point. And there's a woman in my Sunday school class said the same thing. Just do what's right, and you got to love, and you got to love, and all this. But my question is, I hang up. Can you truly do what's right, and can you truly love without knowing the Ten Commandments? I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your enthusiasm for the show. You know what? Unsaved people can do things that are moral and righteous. I was in a debate, and a lady came up very angry, and she said, you're saying that atheists can't be moral. I said, no, they can be moral. They just don't really have an objective reason for being moral. I don't know where your dad ultimately was spiritually, but there's knowing Christ and there's living right. Mm-hmm. Hopefully both of those are manifested in each person's life.
Right. And the reference to the Ten Commandments there, remember Christ came to embody the law, not to do away with the law. And as we follow Christ, as we pursue the Spirit, as we work towards those things, then I think that you'll find some of the more answers there. Bob, send us an email, if you would, to word@afr.net. Alex, we got to go.
Bless you, my brother.
All right, folks, have a great afternoon. Stick around. Tony Perkins is next with Washington Watch on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.